I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. Upon his head were many crowns, and had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And upon his vesture and upon his thigh he had a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to his works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give to him that is athirst of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, for the throne of God and of the Lamb is in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither the light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and forever. He that testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And also and all the kindreds of earth shall wail, also they that pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Behold, he cometh, shout it far and wide. Behold, he cometh, all evil to subside. Behold, he cometh. Look up, Christian, look up. Behold, he cometh with fury in his cup. Behold, he cometh, let his people rejoice. Behold, he cometh with triumphant voice. Behold, he cometh, watch Babylon fall. Behold, he cometh, crowned Lord of all. Behold, he cometh with wind and fire and flood. Behold, he cometh, and I'm washed in his blood. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. What a wonderful musical program. We have that every Sunday, folks, if you're here just for the first Sunday. Thank you, Brother Tommy, and choir, and new specials. Had it been one, you would have to go a long way on this earth to find music any better than Worth Baptist Church. And I'm convinced that you might not even find it this side of glory. But when we all get to heaven, even Pastor and I'll be able to sing. And I'm hoping that Rigsby, I doubt it very seriously, but I'm hoping that he will. But it'll be a great thing when we all get there, won't it? We've heard a lot about it in the music today and in the messages, and I'm so happy that you're here tonight to be a part of the service. Isn't God good? Open your Bible. Oh, by the way, did I tell you? When we open the Bible opens the mind of God. Let's see what God's thinking about tonight in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter number 32. The history books of the Bible are not just to be ignored. They're full of things that you and I need to know. Some of that is in my text tonight. We don't always understand, but you know, I've been reading the Bible for many, many years now, almost three quarters of a century. And it was read to me when I was in the crib. It was read to me when I was in my mother's womb. So the Bible's been around a long time. But I've never found one verse, not one verse that said, understand this. But I've read a lot that said, believe this. So we're supposed to believe it. And I believe every word of it. And I hope that you do. And I'm going to read from 2 Chronicles chapter 32, beginning at verse 1 and down through verse number 8. After we pause in a moment of prayer, may we pray together. Our Father, we are grateful for thy timeless word. Where would we be with all the things that are happening in our world, in our nation, the turmoil, the strife, the difficulties, all of the heartaches and trials and temptations and tribulations, all the difficulties and deficiencies and doubts and defeat and despondency and despair. But we thank thee that we have the light of the scripture. May we hide it in our hearts that we might not sin against thee. May it be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And may we not forget those who gave their lives and shed their blood to bring this book to us, all bound up in leather in our own language. Moreover, help us never to forget the price that Jesus paid at Calvary, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, and by whose stripes we are healed. Help us now as we read and hear, and as we are changed by what you have for us tonight. In Jesus' name I ask it with thanksgiving. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter number 32. I read beginning at verse number 1. After these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come, and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they did help him. So there were gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water? Also he strengthened himself and built up the wall that was broken and raised it up to the towers and another wall without, and repaired Milo in the city of David and made darts and shields in abundance. And he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city, and spake comfortably to them, saying, Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Now, as chapter 31 closes, we find that Hezekiah is doing and had done and would do that which was right and good and truthful. But then something very terrible takes place in the opening of chapter number 32 that I just read to you. As the chapter opens, the cruelest, the most wicked king that Assyria ever had, Sennacherib, is threatening the little kingdom of Judah. He entered the kingdom of Judah and encamped against the fortified cities, of which there were 46. It was his plan to capture all of these cities and in so doing enlarge his ever-expanding empire that reached from India to Ethiopia. Now, in view of that, what did Hezekiah, king of Judah, do in the face of Sennacherib's threat? I submit to you that he did two very important things. Number one, he did all that he could to deal with the situation. And number two, and more importantly, he trusted God for the outcome. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what we must do. When we're faced with difficult situations and trying circumstances, all the things that the devil throws at us, we must commit our problems to God in prayer. And we must trust him for the solution. And I want you to know that Jesus is the answer. And Jesus never fails. And Jesus is mighty to save. And Jesus is here tonight in the person of the Holy Spirit, bringing us what we have from his blessed word. We must claim promises such as Isaiah 49:16. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. You know, God's got big hands. And that says, now that word graven suggests a picture, an engraving. So every time God looks at his hand, he sees you and me. Isn't that wonderful? Well, how does he do that with all the big, because he's got a big hand. Because he's God. Because he does anything he wants to do. Because he does far above what we could ever ask or think. He is God, supreme and sovereign and sufficient and strong. And he is our God. We must claim the promise of Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2. Listen to this. Fear not. Push the pause button right there for a second. There are 365 times that the words fear not or their equivalent appear in the Bible. That's one fear not for every day of the week. Have you met yours today? Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Aren't you glad we're redeemed? And we're redeemed by the blood, not by silver and gold, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. He says, I have called thee by thy name. You mean to tell me that God knows the names of all of his people? Well, that's what it says. Scientists tell us that there are trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of stars that are all set in all these billions and billions of galaxies. And you know what? God knows exactly how many stars there are. And he calls every one of them by name. Look at it in Psalm 147 in verse 4. He telleth the number of the stars, and he calleth all them by name. If God knows the names of all of those trillions and trillions and trillions and multiplied trillions of stars, by the way, the scientists tell us that there are enough stars for every one of the 7 billion people on earth to have 2 trillion stars apiece. I'm going to start claiming mine. If God knows all of their names, don't you think he knows your name tonight? When everybody else forgets it and they don't remember you at the bank and they don't remember you at the grocery store and they don't remember you at the gas station, God remembers you. He knows your name. continue to read here now. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overthrow thee. I suggest you make an appointment with Noah when you get to heaven, because Noah was a hydro expert. He knew all about water. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Talk to the three Hebrew boys. They were pyro experts, fire experts. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Make an appointment with them. They can tell you all about the fire. Add to that this promise. This is one of the most comforting, consoling promises in all the Bible. Isaiah 59 and verse 19. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And add to that Psalm 34 and verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth about round about them. Watch this now. That fear him or trust him and delivereth them. Have you seen an angel lately? Well, you just haven't looked for one. The Bible says they encamp around. The angel of the Lord is camped around all of us to deliver us. Now, what was Hezekiah's strategy in face of all this? I'll just name it for you. In verse 3, he sought counsel with his people, and they helped him. You know, I'm glad we have a pastor that seeks counsel of his people. And I'm glad the people are helping him. It's not for him to do it by himself. It's for all of us to do it. In verse 4, he devised a plan of defense. The main defense they could have was to stop up all the water fountains, because no army, no man, no person can live long without water. He asked the question, why should we have all of this water for the kings of Assyria to have? Let's stop up the fountains and they'll have to thirst to death. By the way, did you know that all 185,000 of those men in Sennacherib's army one morning woke up as corpses? How'd you like to wake up dead? That's what the Bible says. They all woke up as corpses, as dead men. God knows how to handle it. Not a shot was fired. Verse number 5, he strengthened himself and built a wall. I like that. He raised up towers. Verse 6, he organized his forces and set captains of war. I love verses 6 and 8, 6 through 8, and I'm going to read them again where he comforted his people. Listen to what he said. Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria. For all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us. Now get this, than with him. He had 185,000 men. Now, I'm not a good mathematician, but I read pretty good. In Revelation 5:11, I read there 10,000 times 10,000. That's 100 million. And thousands of thousands. I don't know how many that is. Maybe some of you math experts can figure that out. Thousands and thousands above the 10,000 times 10,000. All of that against 185,000. God is on his throne. He has the might and the power to do what he needs to do to help you and me and to deliver us from the enemy. With him is an arm of flesh. For with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Remember what is written in 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 15. The battle is not yours, but God's. God will fight the battles. That's what he said. Now, in the battle against Satan, we need a strategy. We need to seek God's counsel. That's right up front in our strategy. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3 says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We need to plan our defense. And the only way we can do that is get wisdom from God to do it. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, wavering for nothing. For we have to ask in faith, believing. For if we're going to receive from God, we've got to believe what God said. A double-minded man, James says, is unstable in all his ways. Be single-minded. Single-minded. I'm reminded of the young lady that sent off her picture to the Lonely Hearts Club. They sent it back and said, we ain't that lonely. Be single. Be single-minded. That's what James is saying, not double-minded. We must arm ourselves with the armor of God. Paul said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all supplication and preservation for the saints. Folks, if we just plan the right kind of strategy, God will fight for us. Now, that's my introduction. I'm ready to preach. Now, sit back and relax. You already know sometimes my introduction is longer than my message. The title of the message, Be Not Dismayed, the Lord is with us. That's a long title. Ought to have a short message. Be not dismayed. This is the title. Be not dismayed, for the Lord is with us. I submit to you in the first place that the Lord is with us in the saving of our souls. We sang a while ago, wafted on the rolling tide. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Tell it far and wide. Jesus saves. Amen. I don't have to tell you what you already know, but I'm going to remind you that all men are sinners. Isaiah 53 at verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Adam's disobedience plunged the whole human race into sin. So Paul wrote in the Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, no, not one. And in 3:11 of Romans, Paul wrote, there is none that seeketh after God. And in Romans 3:12, Paul wrote, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Ecclesiastes 7:20, the wise men wrote, there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. That means, ladies and gentlemen, we're all sinners. But stay tuned for the good news. As all men are sinners, all men can be saved. You see, in God's economy, there's no most favored person clause. All men can be saved. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to us, not willing that any should perish. Did you get that? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In Romans chapter 10 at verse number 8, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whosoever, verse 10 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Last great invitation of the Bible, Revelation 22 and verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever is predestined, no, that's not what it says. Whosoever is chosen, no, that's not what it says. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Peter in the 10th chapter of Acts said, then Peter lifted up his voice, opened his mouth, and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. For in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. That settles it forever. No respecter of persons. Now I come to point number two. Just have 33. No, just kidding. Sit back. The Lord is with us in the daily operation of our lives. Have you ever noticed that you could make it through one single day without God? In Him we live and move and have our being. We belong to God. We have a Father-Son relationship. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Because we belong to God, we know we have the assurance of his care, his concern, his compassion, his comfort. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, his truth endureth all generations. Do you know how you and I should come into that door? We ought to come in with thanksgiving, praising God, expecting something, and not just sitting there looking at the preacher like I'm not on a log. Open your heart, open your eyes, open your ears. We are his people. He provides our needs. Philippians 4:19, Paul said, but my God shall supply all your need according to your bank account. No, that's not what he said. According to your riches. No, he didn't say that. God, my God, shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I read somewhere in the Bible that God has it all. The earth is mine, the Lord said. All the silver, all the gold, everything. And you know what? He wants to share it with us. And the only thing that keeps us from receiving what God has for us is a lack of faith. Do we really believe that God will supply our needs? He directs our path. The wise man wrote in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord and lean not unto thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. He calms our fears. What are you afraid of tonight? You may be afraid of having cancer next week or next month, or having a heart attack, or having a broken home, or losing your job. What are you afraid of? Listen to this. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And if you fall out of his right hand, he'll catch you in his left. He He not only calms our fears, he is our refuge in the time of trouble. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathen raised, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He promises us eternal security. I love the doctrine of eternal security. Now, some of you know that Charles Stanley and I grew up together, went to school, all through school as best friends. Charles was brought up in a Pentecostal holiness home, church. And every day after school, we didn't talk about the 13 original colonies or the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution. We talked about Romans chapter number 8. That's one of the great chapters in all the Bible. By the way, Charles has invited me to come over and speak for him. Hadn't set a date yet. I'm still waiting on that. But when he called me and invited me, I said to him, now, Charles, you understand I'm an independent Baptist. He said, well, that's all right, Raymond. Most of my people think I'm independent. John chapter 10, I'm going to quote Jesus now. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never, 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 never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father who gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Wow. How you like that one? That came from the lips of the Savior. But then the Apostle Paul climbs the summit of all New Testament revelation in Romans chapter 8 at verse 35 when he asks, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or nakedness, or famine, or peril, or sword? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors? That's what he said. More than Tiglath-Pileser? Yes, more than Tiglath-Pileser. More than Shalmaneser? Yes, more than Shalmaneser. More than Sennacherib? Yes, more than Sennacherib. More than Sargon? Yes, more than Sargon, first and second. More than Nebuchadnezzar? Yes, more than Nebuchadnezzar. More than Esarhaddon? Yes, more than Esarhaddon. More than Nabonidus? Yes, more than Nabonidus. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Once in Christ forever. Nothing from his love my soul shall sever. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep, or the wild stormy deep, in Jesus, I'm safe evermore. Amen. I have one more thought, and I'll be through. God is with us in the certainty of our future. Be not dismayed. Be not dismayed. The Lord is with us in the certainty of our future. We all face death. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die. But here's the good news. We do not have to face death alone. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That word forever just gripped me the other day. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for a little while. No. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for a million years. No. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Somebody asked me, what does forever mean? And I said, forever. We have the assurance of life beyond death. Death does not end at all. 2 Chronicles 5:1. For we know, underscore that word know, not we think, we hope, we peradventure. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And in verse 8, Paul says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Wow. How can we lose for winning? How can we be discouraged when we have so much to be encouraged about? How can we be unthankful when we have so much to be thankful for? You know, the church at Thessalonica was probably the first church that Paul established. They were young in the faith. When death came to one of their loved ones, they didn't understand what was going to happen. They worried. Is this all of it? Will we ever see our loved ones again? Paul sent young Timothy over to find out what was going on at the church of Thessalonica. And when Timothy got there, they said, things are going well, Timothy, but please help us. We wonder about, I just buried my father. I just buried my mother. Will we ever see them again? Is this the end? So when Timothy got back to Paul, Paul said, Timothy, well, how things are going over at Thessalonica? Oh, things are going well, Paul. But they need some comfort. They need some assurance about their loved ones who have died. So Paul sat down and wrote a letter. And in the fourth chapter of it, he said these words. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with a trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now when that trumpet sounds, you can turn your ear tube down a little bit. Well, you'll be able to hear it. I said to you this morning, some people say, well, I don't think the preacher ought to talk loud. Well, you'd go to sleep if I talk low all the time. Wake up. Live. Learn. Hear. Do. And here's the conclusion of the whole matter. And I'll be through. It's written in Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Would you stand with me, please, in our prayer? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, Holy Spirit speaks, altar's open, invitation has begun. If God has spoken to your heart tonight, and I don't know your need, somebody may be here without Christ, never trusted him as personal Savior. Would you come and trust him? There may be somebody who needs to come and join the church. Would you come? I don't know of a better place you could be than right here. WBC is the place to be. You want to join the church? Pastor's here to show you what you can do. You want to come and kneel and just spend a moment with God? Just thank him for all the promises that he has in his book. Thank him that he's with you all the way. Thank him that he supplies your needs. Thank him that you won't have to cross Jordan alone. When I come to the river at the ending of day and the last winds of sorrow have blown, there'll be somebody waiting to show me the way. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Jesus died all my sins to atone. In the darkness I see, he'll be waiting for me. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Father, I thank you for all of your promises, for all of your goodness and mercy and kindness. For these precious people who've listened attentively to your word, now I pray that you speak to our hearts. Give the pastor wisdom as he continues the invitation. He's the shepherd of the flock. He knows the hearts of many of these people. I pray that the Holy Spirit would move in Jesus' name.